Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, May the 24th, 2022, and our call-in number is 347-857-3293. And tonight, as in all our previous nights, we are facing an apocalypse. And we are saying the world war by America and the European Union dash NATO versus the socialist dash communist countries and all of the rest of us. Once again, this world war by America and the European Union slash NATO versus is against the socialist and communist countries and all the rest of the world, because this is in a news, an anatomy of oppression, and it's a news analysis. It requires that we understand colonialism and imperialism. It requires that we understand how the elites use their puppets who look like us to destroy us. So without further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over and say, Ralph Pointer, what's happening?
Good evening, my sisters and brothers, my brothers and sisters, and our family. You've heard the question stated, what is this war about? Well, we're not going to get into great detail, but as was stated, this is the European powers versus the socialists, communists, and all the rest of us. And we're going to briefly explain that. I heard last night, 2 a.m., walking toward the house, some people who appeared to be homeless, and they had a little bit of pot, and they were people of color. And they were saying out loud, I wasn't listening in, I was walking across the street, and I heard a woman's voice, and she says, every time we appear to almost get our foot in the door, they have another group that comes in ahead of us. Now, that's a very simplistic explanation. But one thing is very clear. She was very angry about it, and she opposed America's side. And to me, that was a giant leap forward. And as Betty said, we're living in apocalyptic time. This could be the end of the planet. No, the people on the planet. The planet's going to continue no matter what happens. But there may not be any people on it. It may end up with insects, basically, living if there is. And we don't even use the terms atomic war. It's war far beyond the atomic power. The atomic power developed to its nth degree. And so, terms. We're talking about terms. What are we talking about? Money being spent. Yes, it's about money being spent. Not on the population that created it. And we could go into great details about this, but we will go directly to the contestants and what they represent. The United States and NATO represent the imperial powers of the world. And what's an imperial power? Let me give you one clear example that you can't miss or be confused about imperial power. Now, France is a part of NATO, and when Haiti won its freedom, they've been charged reparations until today. That means pay money to France for winning your own freedom, and what that does is guarantees the large majority of the people in Haiti live in poverty. And who gets the money? France gets it. And so what does that say to you? People fought for freedom. They won. France comes back, supported. And here's a fact that maybe you don't understand or nobody ever told you in school. They didn't tell me in school. But I found the first three American presidents, starting with George Washington, they taught you that, spent $500 to send to the Haitian plantation owners, $500 apiece on different occasions, to the Haitian plantation European white owners to win their struggle against the Haitian people of color. That's what imperial power means. The imperial powers, America, way back then, supported France, oppressing people. Now, it goes around the world. I'm sure everybody on this call has heard the story while you were in school. The British Empire was so big that the sun never set on it. As the sun moved, as the earth moved around the sun, and you understand that, I'm sure. The sun was always shining on something that the British, some people that the British had conquered. Now, we all know slavery is not a volunteer situation, and imperialism neither is a volunteer situation. You are murdered, you lose a war, you are killed, you are terrorized to keep the imperial powers going. Now I'm going to cut to the chase. There are countries who said no to that and won. Russia was one of them. And China was another one. And Cuba is another one. And Vietnam, etc. And this is an attempt of the United States and European powers to stop the march to freedom of the rest of the world. Freedom to do what? Freedom to keep their resources or get a reasonable price for their resources so that their people who live on the resources can have a decent living out of their resources, that it doesn't all come to America. Now, I'm going to rush a little bit. We've heard of blood diamonds. I think everybody knows what that is. I don't have to explain that. Well, we have blood cell phones now. We all benefit, in a manner, from this imperial power. People are dying in Africa. The people are working in slave conditions, and that means getting next to no pay to get the materials for our cell phones, and so that people who make the cell phones make billions, make a lot of money, and the people digging the materials and the minerals to create these cell phones do not. We drive around in cars. We see countries have been destroyed by petroleum-producing corporations making trillions of dollars while people's countries are destroyed, lakes are destroyed, forests are destroyed. But this is all imperial power. And so we have two stakes in it, our own moral imperative. That means what do we think of ourselves as benefiting from other people's labor? And whose side are you going to be on? And for me, it is very clear when I look at history and we see the history of nations trying to get away from imperial powers were supported by Russia, USSR. Union of Soviet Socialists. We see countries trying to impose the imperial will, United States, England, France, etc. They support people's poverty around the world. And it goes further than that. We celebrate in our history imperial powers. Winston Churchill, make a movie, we call him Winnie. Everybody loves Winnie, but everybody's mad at Hitler, who wanted to do the same thing. And I say to you, British imperialism killed far more people than German attempt at a Third Reich. It was supposedly lasting for 1,000 years. It lasts for 6 or 7 or 10. Anyway, to show you the realities here. This is what the world is facing today. Very powerful countries are facing off through Ukraine. And I don't know whether they're crossing their fingers hoping that it stays in Ukraine, but it looks like it goes further. And then when we see countries like Finland and Sweden, etc., joining the European powers, NATO, or wanting to join NATO, then we think, wait a minute, aren't these the same people who tried to crush the Russian Revolution? And the answer is yes. But let us not think that a different economic and social system is always from Europe. But because we don't know history and they don't teach history, most of us, including myself, didn't know until I was out of college about a gentleman named Delaney. That was an African who became one of the first officers, black officers, in the Union Army. Martin Delaney. Look him up, and you will see that he proposed an economic system that might be called African socialism. And so you see, there are other economic and social systems that are possible. We just don't know about them. But the people who fought and have them are determined to keep them, and well, they should. And when somebody says, whose side are you on? And I'm saying, if you know history, you know that in our own interest as progressive people who are looking for a better world for everybody, we are on the side of Russia, because they have proven throughout history, no, since 1917, when they overthrew the royal powers to become a people's country, a country that belongs to the people. Now, you can debate that all you want to do, but understand there's two sides. And as the Union message was, know whose side you're on. I say loud and clear, I'm on the side of freedom fighters. I'm on the side of people who say that every country should control its own resources. I'm on the side that supported Nelson Mandela and South Africa. I'm against the side that wanted to keep Nelson Mandela in jail, wanted to continue the slavery in South Africa. I'm on the side of the people who are sheltering one of our very wonderful freedom fighters, Assata Shakur, Cuba, as opposed to the side who wants to put her in jail. I could go on and on and on. But understand where we on this program are supporting the freedom-loving, not the Ukraines. And I can understand why people are confused about this word of freedom, because I remember looking in history or reading about historians, they say the war between the North and the South in America was the Southerners wanted freedom to have slavery. And I'm saying, wait a minute, there's no such thing as freedom in the conditions of slavery. There's terrorism and empire. And they have better language than that, but they want to keep you confused. And this is why you see, they say, the Ukraine has freedom to bring nuclear weapons right on the border of Russia. And you see where that goes. But I'm going to let it go with that, and I'm going to listen to what you have to say. Sister Betty.
Thank you for that, Brother Ralph. Quite a lot of enlightenment. And we're going to open up, as we always do, with poetry to remember and honor Sister Wynne. And we have a former political prisoner of poetry tonight. Your mic is open.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Brother Ralph, Sister Betty. I do have a very good poem I'm going to share with everyone tonight. But let me make a couple of connections to some of what's already been said. The poem, of course, is called Affirmation. And it's a wonderful poem by Assata Shakur, who, like Brother Ralph said, has asylum, has freedom that was given to her by the Cuban people and the Cuban government, even though the United States government has been seeking to, you know, get her back, put her back in prison, torture and kill her like they do to all revolutionary political prisoners in this country. And let me just make, it was only about a week ago that we heard the really good news that Asada's co-defendant, Sundiata Kohli, that's a New Jersey Supreme Court had ruled that he had to be released on parole after the parole board had denied him for almost 50 years, but we're still waiting to see when the release is actually going to happen. I mean, one thing on paper is good, but actually to see the brother step out and come into the arms of his family and his supporters and his friends and comrades, that has yet to happen. But anyway, with those couple of connections to this poem, let me begin. Asada says in the poem, affirmation, I believe in living. I believe in the spectrum of beta days and gamma people. I believe in sunshine, in windmills and waterfalls, tricycles and rocking chairs. And I believe that seeds grow into sprouts and sprouts grow into trees. I believe in the magic of the hands and in the wisdom of the eyes. I believe in rain and tears and in the blood of infinite. I believe in life, and I have seen the death parade march through the torso of the earth, sculpting mud bodies in its path. I have seen the destruction of the daylight and seen bloodthirsty maggots prayed to and saluted. I have seen the kind become the blind, and the blind become the bind in one easy lesson. I have walked on cut and crow and blunder bread and breathed the stench of indifference. I have been locked by the lawless, handcuffed by the hated, gagged by the greedy, and if I know anything at all, it's that a wall is just a wall. And nothing more at all. It can be broken down. I believe in living. I believe in birth. I believe in the sweat of love and in the fire of truth. And I believe that a lost ship steered by tired seasick sailors can still be guided home was by Asada Shakur.
All righty. Professor Louis, I know you're listening in. You'll tell me later how we're doing it. I love it. And we can listen to that one over and over again and think of what it means to ourselves. Thank you for that, our fine political prisoner who's taken time to talk with us this evening. Sister Betty.
We want to continue. As always, there is a lot happening, and I know that Sister Ann Lam can give us some kind of updates on some of our political prisoners and just what the status is. I think we had some bad news recently regarding Matula Shakur. I think also some concern, there are some events, let's not say concern, there are some events involving Mamia Abu-Jamal. So Sister Ann, thank you for joining us as usual, loyal comrade. Please, your mic is open.
Thank you so much, Sister Betty, Brother Brown. Lovely poem by Asada, of course. Okay, we do have some bad news about Matulu. He was denied mandatory parole again on May 16th. So this is the ninth time Dr. Shakur has been denied parole by the U.S. Parole Commission, and the second time he's been denied mandatory parole. I'm not really sure what the mandatory parole means. I have to ask a lawyer about that. Dr. Shakur received support for his parole from former Bureau of Prisons staff, sitting members of Congress, and religious and community leaders. Despite this extensive support for his release and his dire medical condition, the U.S. Parole Commission determined that, and we quote, after consideration of all factors and information presented at this time, the commission is denying your release under the standards of 18 U.S.C. Section 4206D for the following reasons. The commission finds we'd love to know how they found this. The commission finds that there is a reasonable probability that you will commit a federal, state, or local crime if released.
My God.
Now, this is the same thing that the New Jersey Parole Board was saying about Cindy Otter, if we may recall. Okay. So as we know, you know, Dr. Shakur is very ill. He has stage 3 bone marrow cancer. I hear that he's in almost constant pain. He's had COVID 3 times due to the fact that his immune system is, you know, so weak. And he's also been denied compassionate release various times. So to conclude this little update from family and friends of Dr. Mukhtulu Shakur, Dr. Shakur's legal team will be appealing this decision. And along with Dr. Shakur, family and friends of Mukhtulu Shakur will be exploring all possible next steps in the struggle for his immediate release. This is a protracted effort, and we will continue to work for his release until we win, which I love that attitude, until we win. I received this notification the other day. I was furious, to say the least. But we can, in the meantime, go to MutuluShakur.com, all lowercase, all one word, MutuluShakur.com. There's two things that you can do. One is to donate some money to family and friends of Dr. Mutulu Shakur, because, you know, all this litigation does cost some money, even if the lawyers are doing it pro bono. You still have to pay for paperwork and things like that. And also, if you have not already done so, you can sign the petition for executive clemency to President Joe Biden. And you can click on this lovely picture of Mutulu and sign that if you have not done so already. And also, please share with family, comrades, friends, etc. Now, interestingly, that decision was made on the same day that Cindy Otter was released from BOP custody. So he was released from FCI Cumberland on May 16th. However, of course, he is not yet home because this involves a process. Because he's a Jersey state prisoner, even though he was being held for reasons unknown to me in a federal prison, he has to get turned over back to New Jersey, right? And then his parole is to be in the state of New York. So then the state of New York has like 45 days max to think about, are we going to accept him coming to New York State or not, right? So that's part of the reason that we are not yet able to celebrate Cindy Otter's release, because he is not yet home. And as soon as we hear that he is home, we will immediately let everybody know. In the meantime, getting ready for him to be coming home, you can also donate to Cindy Otter. And you can go to CindyOtterAcoliFC.org. The FC is for Freedom Campaign. Cindy Otter Acoli Freedom Campaign. So that's CindyOtterAcoliFC.org. If you don't remember that, just Google Cindy Otter Acoli Freedom Campaign. It'll take you there. And you can also donate some money there, which he will surely need and his family will surely need once he gets home, because as people may know, Cindy Otter is 85 years old. He served more than 49 years in prison, and he is finally going to be able to spend some time with his children and his grandchildren. His health is fragile, so, you know, I'm sure they'll need assistance with that. So those are two updates. I don't really know about anything coming up for Mumia instantly. I know he has a court hearing on June 29th. But another thing that happened just yesterday is the so-called Supreme Court has just gutted yet another constitutional right. We just threw habeas corpus completely out the window, right? This case is known as Shin v. Martinez-Ramirez, which were two men in Arizona who were on death row, right? And they were pursuing the fact that they had ineffective assistance of counsel on both their original trials and in their post-conviction relief hearings. Now, in the normal course of events, this was answered to, you know, 10 years ago, the Supreme Court said if the defendant is represented by an ineffective lawyer during their post-conviction proceedings and that lawyer fails to argue that the defendant was represented by an ineffective lawyer during the defendant's trial, a federal court can still hear the defendant's claim that they received ineffective assistance at trial in violation of the Sixth Amendment. That's because the defendant isn't at fault for failing to present their ineffective assistance of trial counsel claim when, through no wrongdoing on their part, the state appoints an ineffective lawyer to represent them during post-conviction proceedings, and that ineffective lawyer fails to argue the defendant received shoddy legal help during trial. So that's where it was until yesterday, when the court suddenly decided, now we're just going to throw this all out the window, and we're going to hold that there is nothing the federal court can do when a defendant received ineffective assistance at their trial in violation of the Sixth Amendment, and was then appointed an ineffective attorney during post-conviction proceedings. There's nothing that the court can do, they suddenly say. So they have basically said that two men who are possibly innocent, it's okay for the state of Arizona to go right ahead and execute them. And, of course, that was the majority of the conservatives, and then the three, other judges all, objected to this. Judge Sotomayor wrote an extremely great, dissent, and I'll just read a little part of it because it's interesting. Sotomayor,
we have people waiting to get on. Is this article on your website?
No, I sent it out by email, but I will definitely put it on the website because it's very interesting where this is going.
Is there a defense committee that people can support? Usually there are committees that are fighting this issue. Do you have that on your website? Do you have a number that people can call to see what support they can offer? Because we do have a very important, we have two or three important reports that we've got to get out tonight.
So you go ahead, and I'll see what I can put up on the website, because I did just get an email also from, the folk who are always behind that, the Innocence Project and the people fighting the death penalty.
It's obvious what you're trying to make people understand. This precedent is a clear indication of where this imperial power is going in terms of the war at home as well as the war abroad. The only way they can have a successful war abroad is to oppress us at home. This is a declaration of war in terms of our human rights. Thank you, Sister Anne. Brother Ralph, do you want to introduce the speaker? And Anne, I apologize, he will be getting...
Yes, brothers and sisters, we have a fine brother, Lawrence Reyes, Pacifica National Board. He's a KPFK Grassroots Community Radio Coalition, and he's going to tell us something about saving the community radio, Pacifica. Lawrence Reyes, your microphone is open. Would you tell us, give us the message you want us to, and thanks for taking get on this, this blog so that to bring the news, the information, as dangers facing us. Lawrence Reyes, your mic.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ralph. Thank you, Sister Betty, and I'd like to thank Sister Anne for shedding light on the injustice that continues to happen to our brothers and sisters. I am on my way to an elders gathering to continue to work on the clemency campaign for our elder, Leonard Peltier. So we are in the struggle out here in Los Angeles to do that. I want to report on Pacifica. Pacifica Radio is a radio of five radio stations. And what I could implore your listeners to do is to support your show, support WVAI, support KPFK, support WPFW, support KPFT, and support KPFA any way that you can, whether it's financially or whether it's through your blood, sweat, and tears. But we need that in order to save our network, in order to save community radio and free speech radio. Right now, as you know, Donald Goldmacher filed a complaint with the FCC to try to block WBAI from renewing its license. And that's one of the things that's going on at KPFK. We have quite a mess going on right now. The National Board unanimously acted in executive session to right some of the wrongs. which was a first, as you know, Brother Ralph, having been on the national board, how that tends to really split between those who are liberal and those of us who are radical revolutionaries. So what I would implore your listeners to do is to support your show, support Pacifica Radio Network and the foundation, because this is all we have. And although we are in a crisis right now, I'm an eternal optimist, and we always struggle, but we always come through. We always come through the other side of the tunnel. So wherever there is injustice, may the arch of justice prevail, and may we shed light, like Sister Ann did earlier before me, on justice, and may we free them all. May we free Leonard Peltier on clemency. I am so happy that they finally liberated our brothers in the Arakuli. But as you know, the Supreme Court just came down with a decision to not declare that a prisoner's rights does not apply to ineffective counsel. So that's going to also put another block in our heroes, in our freedom fighters' effort to liberate themselves. So I'd like to thank you, Sister Betty, your show, Brother Ralph, and all of the listeners out there in New York on WBAI. Please support this show, support the network any way that you can, by volunteering time, by putting in any penny that you're able to spare, because that is very important in these fascist times that we are living in, where, as Sister Betty pointed out, the imperialists are doing everything that they can to squelch free speech and our efforts to liberate our elders and those who are our freedom fighters. So again, I'd like to thank you, Brother Ralph, Sister Betty, and your listeners for allowing me this space. I am on my way to an elders meeting to work on the campaign to liberate our brother Leonard Peltier and others. Thank you
Could
very
you
much.
Could you tell us your program on KPFK?
My program is not on KPFK. My program is on RadioJustice.org, and it's called From Decolonization to Liberation. And it comes on every Thursday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, and you could stream it on RadioJustice.org. Thank you very
okay,
much.
Remember, RadioJustice.org, Brother Reyes.
All right, we want to thank you. We know you're busy. You're one of those people that manages to support every progressive. Thank you for taking at any time. You need something, we can do it, we will. Thank you. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert.
All right, we're going to move right along. We have another former political prisoner. We don't know if they want to speak, but we will honor them and open their mic. If they want to pass, that's okay, but if they want to share some updates with us, we appreciate it.
0072.
Brother Kaza, your mic is open.
Oh, right on. Right on. I just, I don't have too much to say. I just want to keep supporting your program. And I love hearing Sada's poem. And, you know, yeah, man, like we have to keep the pressure on and think of different ways of getting our people out because, you know, these petitions are kind of slow, and I think we signed a lot of them, you know, and I don't think we ought to stop, but I think we ought to, like, do some other things also, you know. Long live the gorilla, man.
Right on. Long live the gorilla. Thank you so much for that, Kazi.
All right, we're going to move right along. Brother Kazi, as long as you're on, if you feel like you want to make a statement, like Ann, you're more than welcome. We're going
Thank
to
you,
move
sister.
On right now. We have another warrior in the house who has for years supported one of our political prisoners, Mamia Abu-Jamal, and Brother Henry Higgins. Do you want to share something with us this evening?
Yes, Sister Betty and Brother Ralph and all of our guests and supporters. I'd like to share a recently penned poem written by Sister Julia Wright, daughter of author Richard Wright, and the person that she dedicated this poem to is to a sada and a sister named Ama Atta. The title of the poem is No Sweetness Here. Do not apologize for jaywalking out of their built-in boxes. Do not apologize for putting their so-called niceties aside. Buffalo is yet again a time to reset. How many do we need? The time for distraction has gone. The time for study to intensify has come. The time for acidity has dawned because, as Ama Atta Aidu says, there is no sweetness here because, as Asada says, the love that eats all bars cannot be alkaline.
Okay, the apple does not fall too far from the tree. Thank you so much for that, Henry Higgins. And as I say, these poems, these writings that people are presented, you can listen to them again. It's archived. You can think about it and listen again. Sister Betty.
All right, we want to hear from one of our warriors in education, who's also a stalwart member of the Green Party, who has always been loyal and devoted to Sister Lynn when she struggled for freedom. Tom, your mic is open.
Your mic is open.
Are you talking to me? This is Tom.
Yes, I am. Your brother Tom.
Yes. Okay. Recently, they had a documentary on TV about Japanese Americans living in the Pacific Coast states of California, Oregon, and Washington, were put in concentration camps for 4 years during World War II. It took 38 years for the United States to admit that it was a mistake and pay the survivors, many of them had already died, or their children, reparations of $20,000. Some of the young men in these concentration camps actually joined the army to fight in Europe. Others refused, creating a split in the Japanese-American community. After the war, some refused to accept the reparations. Those who fought in Europe were the most decorated of any American ethnic group. But when they, after the war, they found it very difficult to get jobs, and there was a lot of prejudice against them. But as bad as all this was in our history, it pales to how the indigenous were robbed of their lands and killed if they resisted. Or how Africans were forced to be transported to work on slave plantations before the Civil War and suffered racist prejudice, with the exception of a brief period called Reconstruction, and that they African Americans still suffer from racism and prejudice. No effort has been made by the U.S. government to pay reparations to either the indigenous or to people of African descent. Most whites respond that their families came to the United States after the Civil War, and they refuse to recognize that their white privilege in their economy is based upon racism here in the United States. There are even some states which plan to delete this history from the curricula in public schools because they say it pits people against each other. I would guess that most young people, both white and those youth of color, do not know about our history. A nation that does not own up to its history is bound to keep repeating it, even though we see many Americans of color reporting the news on TV and on commercials. Trump uses the phrase fake news when the news criticize him, but it's all fake news. Biden was on TV this evening regarding another one of these killings in a small town in an elementary school in Texas, where 18 children were killed and four or five adults. He did not propose a national gun law which forbade people to have guns. There is no reason for people to have guns except those who are in law enforcement or in the military. Biden made no mention of that. So what is needed is that all those people who have lost their children to these massacres to descend upon Washington and the Congress and to lay siege of Congress until Congress passes a law in which no one is allowed to own a gun. There is no reason for people to have guns. Of course, the Supreme Court would call this unconstitutional, but militancy about this horrible situation has to increase. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much. We must understand something about America. That, as Lynn Stewart told us over and over again, the law is whatever they say it is at any given time. Now, we know whatever laws they pass, they will be unjustly applied. Example, this young man who had threatened people, was thrown out of school, came before law enforcement recognition, was able to buy a gun, walk down a crowded street with a gun visible, kill people or shoot people, and then be found not guilty. Now, personally, I know the stricter gun laws get, who they're going to apply to. I know who the gun laws apply to today. And so then it's, I don't want to see stricter gun laws. Those guys are always going to get guns.
Because they're white.
Because white skin privilege. And as I keep referring to dear sister Lynn, and she says, because the person who buys the gun is related to law enforcement, in quotes, that's Uncle Pete. That's Cousin Joe. He can buy a gun. But if Black Ralph walks into a gun shop,
they will enforce the law.
They get very concerned. If anyone black walks into a gun shop, there is a lot of concern. And I think one of these days, we're going to take a program and we're going to call the program simply Guns in America. And then we're going to look at the history of guns in America. And I believe when we finish this discussion and looking at the history of what really happened with this whole question of guns, and we have to carry it back to the Industrial Revolution, what propelled it? Guns was one of the things that propelled the Industrial Revolution, having to make something and improve it and ship it constantly. It helped keep the British Empire going. And guns in America, my brothers and sisters, there could be no slavery without guns. You couldn't keep a slave without guns. You had places in America where the slaves outnumbered the slave owners. And everyone in the slave owner's family had a gun all of the time because slavery is not a volunteer, occupation. And so,
slavery,
you know,
ended because of guns.
And slavery was ended because of guns. So we have to be very careful.
Strategic.
Well, I don't like the word strategic.
Yes.
We have to be very careful when we talk about guns and gun laws. But we're going to deal with that. We're going to have a program called Guns in America.
All right. We promised to get back to Sister Ann, and we will. We're opening up her mic just in case she has additional information. But we also have another caller on, and we'd like to leave time for that caller. Sister Ann, thank you. Your mic is open. And thank you, Brother Tom, for
leave time for that caller because, you know, I already did my little update on what I had. Okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So we have Brother Knowles. We are very pleased to open up the mic, a strong supporter of the African People's Socialist Party and the Black is Back Coalition. Brother Dennis, your mic is open. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening and taking it all in and sitting back tonight just relishing in these very troubling times. Thank you very much.
All right, and as Tom Syracuse said, well, let me finish. As Tom Syracuse said, he gave us a report 18. It's just amazing. And mostly Hispanic people were killed. And what can we say about that other than this insanity is raging in America? Is this a copycat? You know what? A shooting? We don't know. But there is hate and insanity in America, and it's off the charts. And we have to, like I say, we have to take a program, and the name of the program will be Guns in America, and we will examine that history and the psychology, and we have to put on top of that the white supremacy and the culture of white skin privilege and change in the world. And how does guns and how does the feeling of those who have been beneficiaries and privileged enjoy a special position they think? It's called exceptionalism. Otherwise, whatever someone who has skin privilege does, it's okay. But no one else can do the same. We hear, and I don't want to laugh because it is a serious problem. We hear the Russian soldier who was tried for atrocities. And I'm saying, what? And we have people in America who think the terrible Russian soldiers. But at the same time, we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg in terms of American soldiers' atrocities, not only in war, but right here at home. And I used to know the exact number of lynchings that was projected publicly. And we know that's not even the tip of the iceberg, because all of the lynchings, the legal lynchings that take place constantly in America, and everybody knows about it, and we heard about one today. Yes, these people may be not guilty, but what the heck. We're going to do it anyway. And all of those people who were convicted and we found through the Innocence Project, what do you do with those people? What do you do here in New York? We all know about the Central Park Five. And we also know that the people who did this terrible thing knew that it was all a lie, because they got five confessions and they were all different. And the people, who the woman who headed up this so-called anti-rape situation, is promoted. She's happy. Destroyed the lives of these children, and she's promoted. Now, tell me one more time, explain to me about some Russian soldiers' admission to atrocities and what must be done. And I've been told that we have, Anne has a report that's coming up, and we cannot shorten the time for those who give lives for us. And it just makes me
All right, Sister Anne, did you find what you wanted to reference?
Oh, well, I was going to read a little bit of what Sotomayor said in her dissent.
Please continue. Go right ahead.
Justice Sotomayor's dissent accurately described the court's decision as perverse and illogical, arguing that it makes no sense to excuse a habeas petitioner's counsel's failure to raise a claim altogether because of ineffective assistance in post-conviction proceedings, but to fault the same petitioner for that post-conviction counsel's failure to develop evidence in support of the trial ineffectiveness claim, right? So this does not make any sense, and she's right. She continues, by definition, the defendants are not at fault for their state post-conviction counsel's failure to develop evidence. They acted diligently, but their attorney's errors, paired with the state's choice of how to structure their review proceedings, constituted external impediments. Simply put, the defendants haven't failed to develop the factual basis of their claims. And the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, accordingly, does not prevent them from introducing new evidence in federal court when properly interpreted.
All right.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's like amazing. You know, so many innocent people in prison for crimes they did not commit, and now it's okay. Like in this particular case, four federal judges on two different courts concluded there was a reasonable probability that Barry Jones did not commit the crime for which he was sentenced to death after a trial where the state denied him his Sixth Amendment right to effective assistance of counsel. So the Supreme Court essentially told the state today, you can go ahead and execute him anyway.
Well, as Lynn Stewart said, the law is whatever they say it is at any given moment. And I ask you all to listen in tomorrow night at Pacifica WBAI at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have another exciting program that you will not want to miss. And so see you all tomorrow night. And I do wish I knew how it would feel to be free. And that's what this program is about, trying to free our political prisoners and trying to free ourselves, our minds, our bodies, etc. Thank you so much for joining in this evening, my brothers and sisters. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night, next week, and next Wednesday on our march to freedom and liberation. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'd be starting